hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. I want to preach along these lines this morning. When is a man a father? When is a man a father? There's a lot of men that's fathering children, and there's a lot of men, a lot of young men getting girls pregnant, but that don't make a man a father. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, God told Job toward the end of the book of Job, he said, gird up thy loins like a man. There's more to being a man than getting a girl pregnant. Amen. Amen. And they said one time, this nurse come into a waiting room where bunch of expectant fathers were waiting for their wives to have babies. And the nurse come running in and she told this one man, she said, I am so excited to tell you that you are the proud father of two of a set of healthy twins. And he said, oh, you're not going to believe it. She said, I can't believe this. He said, I play for the Minnesota Twins. And she said, wow. And she left the room. It wasn't no time. Another nurse come back in. She said, guess what? She said, guess what, sir? She run up. She said, you are a proud father of triplets. And this other guy, he said, oh my goodness. He said, that's amazing. I work for the 3M company. And the other guy sitting there, he just slid out of his seat and flopped down on the floor. And he's just laying there like this. And the nurse woman said, sir, what's the matter? He said, I drive a truck for 7-Up. Amen. So, amen. Somebody said this guy wrote an article entitled The World Without Fathers. He gave some depressing statistics. In just 3 decades, from 1960 to 1990, the percentage of children living apart from their fathers has doubled from 17% to 36%. That's amazing. It's no wonder that boys are growing up and getting in trouble because they grow up without their daddies. They say with divorce and dual careers, parents spend 40% less time with their children than parents did a generation ago. Amen? Amen. Fathers in middle and lower income families spend only about 25 minutes each week directly one-on-one relationship with their growing up sons. That's daddies and sons. Amen? That's amazing. Somebody said it like this. Well-trained is the son who can hang on to his father's words as he can a fly ball. Happy will be the child who cries because his dad loves him. A wise father hates sin in order to love his son. A good father shows the value of a book as well as a buck. The dad who wonders how much of a teacher he needs to be would do well to go to the school of Solomon. So you've heard people say that parenting don't come with a instruction book. Look over at the book of Proverbs and just read it. It does come with an instruction book. If you'll just read it. Amen? Somebody said like this, what are fathers made of? A father's a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father's a thing that growls when it feels good and laughs out loud when it's scared half to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks he is. He's never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try to smooth the rough edges in the road for those of his own who will follow him. A father is a thing that gets angry when the school grades aren't as good as he thinks they ought to be, and he scolds his son though he knows it's the teacher's fault. And fathers are what give daughters away to other men who are never good enough for them so they can have grandkids who are smarter than anybody else's. Think about that. Ain't that something? A man gives his daughter away to a guy that's not good enough for him so that he can bear children that's better than anybody else's. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Amen. Somebody said, I don't know where fathers go when they die, but I've got a good idea that after they go wherever they're going, they have a good rest wherever they go, and he won't be happy unless there's work to do, and he won't just sit on a cloud And he'll wait for the girl he's loved and the children she bore, and he'll be busy there repairing the stairs, oiling the gates, improving the streets, and smoothing the way for his children. That's what a real father's like, really. Amen? And I want to mention a few things about when a man is a father. First of all, a man is a father, number one, when he sets an unselfish example. When a man sets an unselfish example is when he's a father. When a man sets an example in his character and in his church, in his community. When a man starts living his life not just for himself, but for those that's coming up behind him, for those that's following him. A man that lives not just like the brother said in Sunday school, not just selfishly, but for those that's coming up behind him and for those kids in his word, his work, and in his walk. You know what? A man used to a man's word meant something. Used to little boys and little girls could grow up and whatever their daddy said, brother, you could take it to the bank. It used to be that whatever a man's work kids grew up and say, my daddy does this for a living. My daddy is a carpenter. My daddy's a fireman. My daddy's a policeman. My daddy's a preacher. Nowadays, kids grow up and don't know what their daddy is. Amen. My daddy's a deadbeat. My daddy don't do no. I don't know what my daddy does. My daddy cusses and drinks and beats mama all the time. But a man is a father when he sets an unselfish example. You know, the Bible said that David, listen to this, David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, 1 Kings 15:5. Me and Debbie looked at this verse the other day, and I said, this is an amazing verse of Scripture. And he was talking about this, and he said, it turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Did you know that David had a flawless character? David had a perfect record. David, if you could look at his life, if you could look at it on a big chart, say that wall was a chart, and you could see David's life from the time he killed Goliath, from the time he died, David's life was flawless. He was a shepherd. He was a psalm singing shepherd boy. And then he was king, and he ruled the greatest nation ever. But right in the middle of that, there was a bad spot. And you know what he did, don't you? And you know what happened? He committed adultery with a man's wife. And you know what it did to his kids? It destroyed his family. And if you read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6, it even shows up in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man is a father when he sets an example for his kids. Listen, men, you can do right and do right and do right and do right, but you can do that one stupid thing and say, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. I've lived for everybody else all my life. I'm going to live for me. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to. And you can mess those kids' lives up, and you can put a blemish on them and do something to them psychologically that'll stay with them the rest of their lives. Amen? You can take one wrong turn. David took that one wrong turn, and it stayed with him all his life. It stayed with Amnon. It stayed with Tamar. It stayed with Absalom. Matter of fact, it stayed with David for several thousand years, and it's still with him. It's still got a blemish on his name to this day. Amen. A man is a real father when he sets an unselfish example. A man is a real father when he lives his life in a way that he's not just thinking of himself all the time, and he's thinking about those that's coming up behind him and thinking of his children, living for his kids and not just for himself. I'll tell you, we're living in a day and time where men, they just never spend any time at home, and they spend all their time. I'm like what the brother said a while ago. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having hobbies and having fun. I don't think there's anything. Everybody ought to do something to relieve some stress. We're living in a high-stress society, brother. I think you need something. I think you need to play golf or go fishing or go hunting or do something. Some kind of sideline, whether it's bowling or whatever, as long as it ain't something sinful. I mean, I don't think you ought to go to the pool hall and go hustling and stuff like that. Amen. I mean, if you can afford a pool table, put in your basement and go down there and get away from your nagging wife about an hour every evening, that'd probably be all right. Amen. Just don't let her know you're down there. Yeah. Amen. She's going to hear you breaking her act, though. Amen. But I'm just saying, if you start doing that and get away from your family, and your family don't see you, and your kids don't see you, it's going to be wrong. unselfish. We're living in the most selfish society now. And men, listen, men are like little boys. They live for themselves. And all they think about is, I want to do this, and I want to do that. I want to go do this. I want to do my hobby. I want to have fun. Sometimes I wonder how in the world men raise families and as much time as they spend doing their favorite thing. And then years down the road, you see they ain't raising a family. When their wife takes them kids and piles up in the car and they move out. And then they start trying to patch it up and it can't be patched. See, you can't put a Band-Aid on a cancer, daddies. Amen? I know I'm preaching something that may hit home, may hurt some. It may hurt a little bit, but I'm telling you, brother, you don't listen. You don't spend. Listen, I know we got some avid hunters here this morning. There ain't nothing wrong hunting. I never did take it up. I should probably, because I got a daughter here. It's a tomboy, and I probably ought to start doing it. But we got our hobbies that we do together. But I tell you what, if you spend every waking moment up in a deer stand, and your wife's at home with the kids, and she never sees you, and your kids never see their daddy, bless God, you're going to pay for that one of these days. I promise you, you're going to pay. Amen. Living that selfish lifestyle. Some men do that. It's either golfing or fishing or the racetrack or it's something. And brother, it pays down the road. You reap what you sow. A man's a real father when he lives an unselfish lifestyle. Amen. Man, it got cold in here. Did you turn the air conditioner down? Amen. You got to set an unselfish example. Listen, it ain't always about me. When you start having kids, that's what you young people got to understand. When you have kids, they don't stay babies. That's the fun parts when they're Dylan's size. That's when they're fun, man. I love them when they're a little tiny squishy. I don't really like them when they're like that. Don't hand me no baby when it's 6 months old or 8 weeks old. I don't care nothing about holding them. I'm afraid they're like jelly. They'll squish through your fingers and run out. When they get about 18 months old, from then on, they're a blast, ain't they? Amen. Amen. Like when Dustin's laying over there in that mud hole to camp. I'll never forget that. I wish I'd had a camera laying face down in that mud hole drinking that water. Wasn't that cool? Man, I mean, that's a blessing. I love stuff like that. I mean, see them do something crazy or hanging upside down from a tree or do something like Sheldon would do. I mean, just bizarre, crazy, insane stuff. Brother, I tell you, that is fatherhood, and you wouldn't take $1 million for it. But you miss those things if you got an unselfish lifestyle and you're off doing your own thing. I've talked to many of daddies that said, I spent all my time doing so-and-so, and my kids are gone now. Yeah. Amen? Amen. I remember let me say this. Just the other day, Candace had a... When school was out last week, ain't you glad school's out? I used to hate school. I always thought it was weird people that says they love school. I always thought something's wrong with them. I always love school. People say that, I'm always like, something's wrong with you. And they finished up school, and I told Candace, I said, now Candace, I said, you do good at school all year? I knew she did because her mom was the teacher. And I always helped her fix grades, you know, mark them up, even if she didn't score good. No, she'd never done that. She wouldn't. I'd always tell her, I'd say, can't you give her a break? And she wouldn't. And I'm glad she didn't, because that wouldn't be right. But I said, you do good? She said, yeah. I said, you make honor roll? Yes, I made honor roll every grading season. I said, I tell you what, you're not old enough to date yet. You ain't going to be for another 15 years. She's 13. I said, how'd you like to go on a date with a good-looking man? She said, where can you find me one? I said, she's a smart aleck, you know. I don't know where she gets that from. I said, I'm going to take you on a date. You've done good all year, and I'm proud of you. I said, that's me and you going on a date, just me and you. And she said, really? Where do you want to go? And there's this place up the road. I ain't going to say the name up because this tape goes out on the radio, and that guy will get free advertising. I'm just kidding. There's a place up the road toward Charleston. I said, anywhere you want to go, I don't care. You name it. She said, where she want to go? And so a week or two went by. She never said no more about it. And I thought, well, maybe she don't want to go with an old, fat, ugly, old, bald-headed old man. And the day she said, Daddy, we still going on our date? I said, yeah. She said, when are we going? Now that came up Thursday, she mentioned it. Now, honestly, I got a lot of stuff I need to do before the weekend. A bunch of stuff. I mean, we got about 2 acres of grass that needed mowing. And I got to leave to go on a trip Tuesday to go to a youth meeting that I got to preach. And I had a bunch of stuff. I mean, a bunch of other stuff I got to get done, CDs and tapes I had to run, and then radio tapes and all. I mean, a bunch of stuff. But you know what hit me, Brother Timmy? I woke up that morning. I went out there to get on the lawnmower and all that stuff. And you know what hit me? And we'd been on visitation the night before, and didn't get home at 11:30. You know what hit me that morning? There ain't nothing no more important today than me taking her on that date. All this other stuff can wait. It can wait. When I get back, that grass is still going to be there. And all this other stuff's going to be there. And all my sermon stuff's going to wait. And everything else is going to wait. And so I went in there and got her up. I said, we're going on our date today. And we went on our date. And I'm going to tell you what, we spent the day together. And we had us a blast. We had us a ball. And I mean, we had us a good time. And I don't regret it nary bit. And I ain't saying I'm the greatest daddy in the world. Well, they did get me a hat last night that said world's greatest dad. So I got a proof now. I said, this is one of them hats you wear around and them old pot-belly daddies wear around flea markets. But I'm going to tell you something. I know it's hard for us daddies to do stuff like that because we're so busy and we just got so much other stuff to do. But sometimes you got to make yourself. You just got to make yourself say, look, I've got to do this. I've got to do. You know what crossed my mind? You know what crossed my mind, brother? You know what I thought about? You know what I thought? 13 years old, just two or three more years, there's going to be some little pimply-faced, little old sucking chest punk going to come up on my porch one day and say, Ken's here. You care if I take Candace down to the Dairyland to get a milkshake? And then I'm going to be in jail for punching him in the face. You know what? I got to thinking, it ain't going to be that many years. She's going to be walking down through here. And I ain't going to get to take her on a date no more. A man's a father when he sets an unselfish example. And I ain't putting no roads on me. And I know some of you men do the same thing. But if you hadn't, you better start doing it. You better start doing it, because when they get grown and they start losing interest in spending time with daddy, you can't get them to. Better do it while you can. Number two, a man's a real father when he has an unfailing love for his family. He shows his love through providing for them. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, and every other way. The Bible said, provoke not your children to wrath. We talked about it in Sunday school. Listen, brother, it's not good for us to cram our convictions down our kids' throat and make them live what we want them to live. And then the minute they get a chance, they run away and never want to see us again. Brother, that's not right. God's not pleased with that. We should raise them, train them, the Bible said. It's about training. Train them from a child and teach them the things that are right. The Bible said, he said, observe my ways. In the book of Proverbs, he said, observe my ways. Watch me, son. Watch me. You know what? Listen, again, I'm not saying I'm the best father in the world, but I don't have to worry about my boys beating on their wives. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to sit them down and say, now, boys, whatever you do, don't beat on you. Don't beat on your wife. Because they ain't never seen that such foolishness in our house. They ain't never seen me slap my wife. You know why? Because I'd never live to tell it. That's the main reason. I know better. I provoke not. I heard this story about this man over in Spain. Him and his son had a falling out, and boy, this was a blessing. It's a true story. And the son ran away and been gone for a few years, and he searched and searched and searched, and finally he ran this ad in the paper in Madrid, this big full page ad, and it said this. It said, "Dear Paco, I love you. I forgive you. Please come home. Your father." And it said on Saturday when that ad came up, 800 young men named Paco showed up in the town square in Madrid. Isn't that something? That means there's 800 young boys out there wanting their daddies and wanting them to say, just come home, son, I forgive you. Brother, listen, sometimes us daddies need a good old dose of tender-hearted forgiveness. Sometimes we're the ones that's hard-headed. Yes, amen. Unfailing love. And we need to be protectant, and we need to be patient. Patience is a hard thing for a daddy sometimes. Amen? Man going through the supermarket one day, he's pushing the cart, and had this little boy in the cart, and he's pushing the cart, and the little boy in the cart was screaming and screaming, and the man pushing the cart said, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited. Don't do nothing crazy, George. Just stay calm. Don't say anything, George. Don't scream, George." And this lady said, "Sir, I am so impressed at how you're able to keep little George quiet." He said, "Ma'am, I'm George." Amen? You got to be patient. Listen to this. Somebody said, here's the property laws of a toddler. Some of y'all's got little boys. You daddies listen to this. Listen. Most of our kids are big now, but I remember what it's like to have a little bitty one. I'm like Brother Cap said this morning, when they're little, they're kind of bouncing off the walls, but when they get bigger, it gets rougher.
Right.
Don't think, well, I can't wait till they get bigger. No, enjoy while they're climbing the blinds and chewing the drop cords in too. Because when they get older, it'll get worse. Because they'll choose something else. Amen? Listen, this is toddlers. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it just looks like mine, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. See, that's what daddy's had. That's what daddy's had to put up with. Amen. An unfailing love for your family. You just got to be patient. There's times you just have. Listen, there's times you can't grab them and smack their heads together. Sometimes you just got to take a deep breath and count to 10 and just swallow it. Okay, that's just the way it's going to be. Sometimes you just got to keep it simple and just hold it together. Amen? It ain't always easy. Amen? The weakness in the family today is a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:15, it said Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. That's why children grow up, because daddies don't teach them the Word of God. Daddies don't sit down, they stick them in front of a computer or a video game or a television, and that's what raises their kids. Daddies don't sit down with the Bible. And so, I remember when our boys was kids, boy, we'd wear them out, and I'd sit down with the Bible, and I'd say, now boys, here's why I'm whipping you, and this is why. And I'd read the Bible to them. And to this day, Travis can quote that scripture. Foolishness is the mountain of the heart of a child, with the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Ask him next time you see him. He'd quote just like that. Boy, he knows that better than John 3:16. Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what that means? Just watch me, son. I'll show you how to do it. Amen? You're not saying, son, I'm going to tell you how to be a man. You're saying, son, just watch me. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail. I'll do. You know the key to being a good daddy and having character? It's when you mess up, men, watch this. These men that never make mistakes, kids see through that junk. They know better. It's cool when they're real little and they think you're Superman. And they get a little bit better and they think you're Lone Ranger. And they get a little bit bigger and they think you're Batman. And then after a while, they get a little bit bigger and they know that you're really not none of those things. And then they realize you're daddy. But when they realize that you make mistakes and you say, I don't know, or I'm sorry, or I made a mistake, they see that character and that integrity in you, they'll want to be like you. They won't want to be like Superman or Batman or the Lone Ranger, because they know those are fictional characters and they don't exist, and they know nobody can fly through the sky and shoot spider webs out of their wrists. They'll say, I want to be like my daddy. My daddy wouldn't do that. My daddy wouldn't put up with that. Or my daddy wouldn't do that. My daddy wouldn't carry on like that. I want to be just like my daddy. Amen? Amen. And that's true character. And when you look at them and you say, look, I've had to do it. You say, bless God, I'll never apologize to my kids for anything. You got a long life ahead of you. You know what you got ahead of you? You got ahead of you, your kids looking at you like this. Turn around, walking off. But if you can look at your kids and say, I made a mistake. You know what you got ahead of you? Your kids are doing this. Wrap their arms around you and say, that's okay, Daddy.
That's right. Amen.
I love you. I made a mistake too.
Amen.
Amen. That's character building. Amen. Thirdly, let me say this. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Thirdly, a man is a father when he has an unfaltering loyalty for the Word of God. In the day we live in, they try to tear the Bible down in the schools and the government in every way possible. Everybody's worried to death about the Quran and if the prisoners are going to get to have the Quran. And you know, if you've noticed that they changed the terminology to everything, they don't even call them prisoners anymore. They're detainees. When I was growing up, I didn't know what a detainee. I thought that was something they put in your mouth to keep your teeth straight. I got a detainee. Oh, that's a retainer, ain't it? Ain't we messed up as a society? But the Bible, I mean, we've got it so messed up. But I'm going to tell you something. A real father is a man that'll teach his family and lead the family. You husbands, listen to me. Listen, you say, well, preacher, my wife, she just kind of takes over and takes the leadership role. The only reason a woman takes the leadership role is like it's because you force her to. If you'll just be a man and just step up to the plate, a woman wants a man to do that. A woman wants a man to lead her. Really, I'm serious. Women don't want to wear the breeches, so to speak. Most women wear the breeches because they have to. Because men are being, you know, kind of passive and sissy and just kind of set back. And I don't mean that physically necessarily. I'm just saying they'll set back and let the woman lead. A woman wants a man to take charge. And I'm talking about leading the family spiritually in spiritual matters. Read the Bible and have devotion. And let's go to church. We're going to church. And this is where we're going to go to church. And we're going to serve and we're going to do right. And when you do that, a woman will step up and the kids will say, Daddy's the boss and Mama's next in charge and we're going to do right. Amen. And when you do that, if you have a unfaltering loyalty to the Word of God, it'll pay off because the Bible said it would. And it don't matter what Dr. Phil or anybody else says, it'll always work. Now here's, things will stick with you. Let me give you a few quotes and I'm going to close. Here's a few quotes from daddies. If you don't need it, don't buy it. Selling's just like shaving. If you don't do it every day, you're a bum. Never be so broke that you can't afford to pay attention. If you live to work, you work to live. But if you work to work, I hope you don't live by me. Amen. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Don't be foolish just because you know how to. Amen. The difference always is attitude. The one who quits last wins. If everybody else is doing it, it's probably wrong. Here's one my daddy used to say. By the time you get old enough in life to have any real sense, you're almost too old to use it. Amen. A dad is a mender of toys, a leader of boys. He's a changer of fuses, a healer of bruises. He's a mover of couches, a soother of ouches. He's a pounder of nails, a teller of tales. He's a dryer of dishes. I ain't sure about that one. A fulfiller of wishes. Bless him, O Lord. Amen. Thank God for fathers this morning. Thank God for good, godly fathers. Thank God for good daddies. I've said this many, many times. A church is only as good as the families that go to it. And a community is only as good as the churches that are in that community. I thank God for the fathers and the families we have in our church. And while they come get us a song this morning,